Hare Krishna, this talk is dedicated to Yashomatinandan Prabhu. I just got the news just half an hour ago that he passed away. What can I say? Hare Krishna. This is offered at his lotus feet, and I'm sure he'd be happy that I'm going on with this talk, which was planned, as his whole life was dedicated to preaching Krishna consciousness. I'm giving this talk based on a little email exchange I had with a devotee in America. He's in his early 30s. He's living as a brahmachari in a temple where he's been there since his teens. So he's been there for quite some time. The rare species of American brahmachari. And there's talk of him taking sannyas in future because he's done well as a brahmachari, good record, everything. Some years in future. But anyway, he wrote to me and he said that he'd heard his Guru Maharaj and another ISKCON sannyasi, they're both very senior and respected disciples of Srila Prabhupada, sannyasis for decades, both of them. And he'd heard them discussing about a worry they have or a fear for the future of ISKCON in the West, in America and in the West in general, that will the grand disciples of Prabhupada be neglectful of austerities and preaching. He wrote that it seems that they were worried that the devotees in the next generation, and next generation is with us now practically, as just another of my godbrothers passed away. So there's some worry that they wouldn't engage in these necessary activities. So this devotee, I'm not going to mention any names here, but this devotee asked me if I could address this in one of my YouTube videos. He said, I think it would be helpful for devotees to hear your thoughts in this regard, the worry that devotees have that preaching and austerities will be neglected. Well, I'm piqued by that because I do regularly give talks on, I have over several years, on various issues concerning our movement, and they're meant for devotees who are concerned about this movement. It's some kind of forum, or at least my thoughts, of in which these issues can be discussed. In official ISKCON channels, just like I have dandavats.com, which is a website which is dedicated to showing a certain image of ISKCON. They don't want to discuss controversial issues there. And they have a certain, the editors clearly have a certain idea of the direction the movement should be going in. So it's soft preaching about how the movement should be, but they don't discuss openly or on a regular basis various issues which could be considered controversial. And there are others who say, well, you shouldn't discuss these things openly at all. Although there is a lot of open discussion on various websites in which devotees who are horrified or maybe overreacting or whatever to various aspects of the ISKCON movement, and they express their thoughts in a very strong manner. So if there's any discussion of this openly, it's usually just with lots of expletives and lots of extremely strong terms. And on the other hand, from within the official ISKCON, there's no forum for openly discussing these things. And although some say, well, you shouldn't discuss it openly, but the devotees, hopefully we are attracting some intelligent people, And they see things that go on, and they think about these things, and even they hear their seniors discussing these things. And so I don't believe in the idea of see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil, nor do I think it's possible, and we have to see what the issues are. Anyway, let's get into discussing this. I wrote back to him and said, oh, I'm paraphrasing, oh, what do you mean that you think preaching and austerity will stop? It seems that book distribution and doing public harinams and rasyatras will continue. What specifically do you mean by austerities? And he wrote back and said, yeah, it looks like these activities will go on, but there is some fear also. Now, I'm trying to manipulate here. There's some fear that, clearly there is some fear that they won't go on, or they won't go on in the same, with the same vitality or the same extent that they are at the present time, although public harinams and book distribution are not going on at the same levels they were when Srila Prabhupada was here. But they are going on, and it seems that public harinams will go on. So he wrote back and said, well, I don't know exactly what they were referring to, but some things that come to my mind are that some devotees are having a tendency to hide Prabhupada, to preach the message not as it is, but leaning towards political correctness, wanting to be accepted by the people of this world on their terms rather than our terms. Well, I've spoken a lot about this, and I've made a book called On Speaking Strongly in Srila Prabhupada's Service, advocating that we shouldn't be so cowardly or reserved that we can't speak the message that Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas have given us. And in fact, it's that message that we need to preach. So I have discussed that quite thoroughly in that book, especially on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service. So that particular issue, if you're interested in that, you could read that. The idea of depending on material formulas to spread Krishna consciousness. He didn't elaborate on what he meant by that, so I'm not exactly sure what that means. But the idea is there. It's trying to mix material ideas and spiritual ideas. And quite frankly, I was discussing with a godbrother recently. It seems to me that many of our devotees, their consciousness is molded more by the mass media than it, and the broader culture all around us, if you want to call it culture, than the ideas or the absolute truth that Srila Prabhupada gave us in his books and his talks. Leaning towards political correctness, wanting to be accepted by the people of this world, the inability to attract Westerners. Okay, now we're getting down to something tangible, really tangible. It is a noted problem over some decades now of our inability to attract many Western people to this movement. It's not that they're not attracted. It's not that no Westerners are coming. Just like there was someone wrote very strongly in a comment on my website that saying, well, we're only attracting Indians, but he's Western, and he was preached to by Western devotees to join. So it's a bit strange. He's saying we're only attracting Indians when he's not Indian. So some Westerners are coming. It's not that it's impossible that Westerners can't come. And then the temples become Hinduized. I've spoken on this many times. it's not necessarily a bad thing if we have Hindus in our temple. We want Hindus in our temple. Of course, we want non-Hindus also. The devotees who take to our movement, who are previously Hindus, if they're actually devotees, and I think they are, the great majority, then they don't identify themselves so much as Hindus, any more than hopefully the devotees in Western bodies identify themselves as Westerners. They identify themselves first and foremost as devotees. During the 1960s and 1970s, I didn't hear any protests that, well, we're not attracting non-hippies. We're appealing to a certain demographic at the present time. Okay, so some people are coming, and let's expand it beyond that. I didn't hear complaints from the devotees from hippie backgrounds that we're not attracting Hindus or we're not attracting black-bodied devotees. So at certain times you may attract different demographics. Yeah, but we want to attract the Western people, of course we do. So the fact that there are Hindus in our temple is not necessarily a bad thing, but we have to go beyond that and expand it more so that all classes of people become attracted. So this he wrote, could be seen in ways in which the preaching is truncated. He wrote truncated, or diminished, I guess, or not so satisfactory as it might be. And then he writes, I wonder how much renunciation is stressed. There may be some imbalance in this regard. And then he wrote that one devotee told him that in Alachua, they have the morning program, and of the several hundred devotees live in the area, a very small percentage regularly attend the morning program, and most of them are in the geriatric group. They don't find the young people coming to the morning program. So it's a basic austerity to rise early, and spiritual strength comes from following rules and regulations, which is why Prabhupada stressed it to them so much. And if we don't have at least a core of devotees who are regularly rising early, then we're not going to have the spiritual strength if there's not some basic austerity. So this is the point that he's making. And then if it's only the old people who are getting up early and the young people don't take it up, then we may wonder, what are our temples for? And are we successful? Even if we bring Western people, if they're not ready to go through the basic austerities of rising early, following the four regulated principles, chanting 16 rounds daily, then that is the fear that's being expressed. Regarding Rasyatras, he wrote that one devotee had coined a term, the commitment phobia, giving the example that in the Los Angeles Rasyatra is largely managed and overseen by the older devotees. Vaisheshika Prabhu's wife, what's the name he's given? Nakula? Is that the name? Manages the free feast operation. And of course some youth help, but they have been, the organizers have been having a hard time finding devotees who will commit and be steady and have the right work ethic. In other words, someone who can perform the austerity without pay. Well, one suggestion is turn the whole thing over to the next generation. If they're given the whole thing, they might be more inclined to take it up and say, yeah, we can do it too. Without pay, that's a tough one, because paid devotional service, which Srila Prabhupada says is not really devotional service anyway, has become standard feature of our movement. For what we can say practical reasons, and we may say that, well, we want the next generation. Of course, we're only talking about the next generation, the children of Prabhupada's disciples. Many of themselves have children themselves, are 40 years old and like that. Anyway, They also have families to maintain, so if they're not full-time devotees living in the temple and they're not maintained by their activities in devotional service, they have jobs to perform, businesses to do, and this and that. So it might not be very practical for them to take the time out that's required unless you pay them. So these are some practical considerations. Then going on. Some time ago, a Back to Godhead magazine came out in which there was a special edition dedicated to present Gurukulis, which is the word used for Gurukul alumni. And a certain Swami told this devotee, who's writing me the letter, that he was not sure if he wanted to hand over ISKCON to them, to these devotees, but he would prefer to hand it over to devotees in the category of those who are brahmacharis living in the temple, doing the austerities, doing the full-time service, rather than the many of the ex-Gurukul devotees. He noticed that many of the Gurukul alumni, they have a strong desire or a very strong liking for performing kirtan enthusiastically, sometimes for hours and hours, but not strong sadhana or morning program, chanting rounds, following the principles, maybe have kirtan and then inclined to sense gratification. It may not be very gross sense gratification. I don't know, drinking coffee or something, I don't know. And therefore he thought they wouldn't be able to lead the movement. Okay, don't shoot me, I'm just saying what was written to me in the letter here. I mean, you can shoot me if you like, but you can do it digitally. Then he writes that in a lot of these examples are in relation to the United States, but some of these points could be related to different parts of the world. Yeah, it is a different situation in India, and in many ways the movement is booming here. We don't have a shortage of devotees so much. Where we have different kinds of problems, just like recently I gave a message to the internet preachers of ISKCON, that we have so many preachers and some of them are really not that very much, they may not be very much qualified for preaching. So the situation is different in India. So, just one more thing he wrote, and then I'll get to my reply. He wrote, what better way to not neglect preaching and austerity than to live and preach within the sannyas ashram? In other words, he's saying, well, I can take sannyas. I'm being asked to take sannyas. It may happen after some years. And then sannyas is meant for preaching and austerity. Okay, so some thoughts from myself on this. It's just some thoughts. I'm not saying I got all the solutions by any means, but as I've been asked to speak on this, I will, and some of you out there might find it helpful. The idea is that helpful. There's a perceived problem by respected senior members of our movement, and I've been asked to comment on that, so I'll do so. And what I say might not be appreciated by everyone. But anyway, here goes. Thinking outside the box is a term we often hear. If you want to solve a solution, you can't solve a solution at the same level of consciousness that it was created at. We're told that the very thoughtful and intelligent person, Albert Einstein, said something to this regard. Now, in this regard, I have to say that Krishna West, which I'm not a great fan of overall, but the ideas in Krishna West, it is seeing the problem and thinking outside the box. They see the problem, well, we're not attracting Westerners to join this movement, and just going on in the same stereotype way won't work. We need to take a different approach. We have to be relevant to the people. But okay, I'll from my side give credit for thinking about these things and thinking outside the box. But the solution they propose to stop book distribution in Harinam, that's the wrong thing. That's what we need. We need the spiritual strength of distributing Prabhupada's books and doing Harinam to try to make it culturally relevant by throwing away everything, the very basis of what we're doing. To me, it just seems ridiculous. And although the Krishna West has been trumpeted for quite a few years now as the great solution, but I don't see it's becoming a great solution. Hari Shauri Prabhu, who of course had a lot of personal association with Srila Prabhupada, he narrated that once he wanted to ask Srila Prabhupada about how Srila Prabhupada had been successful in preaching in the West, whereas his god brothers hadn't. And Hari Shauri Prabhu said, he said to Prabhupada that they were sincere, and Prabhupada cut him out and said they weren't sincere. That's why they couldn't succeed. Now, from my perspective, I can't say that the Bon Maharaj, Tirtha Maharaj, Goswami Maharaj, they were sent in the 1930s by Saraswati Thakur to the West. I can't see them as not being sincere, but when Prabhupada says they're not sincere, he's speaking from a much higher level. What does he mean by that? And on another occasion that's recorded, when Srila Prabhupada said, I look back and I see this wonderful thing happen to me. Why did it not happen to any of my god brothers that I'm able to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world? Many of them, they were very austere. They were sannyasis while I was a householder. They had so much association with Guru Maharaj. And Prabhupada said, when I look at it, I see that only I had full faith. Among all my god brothers, only I had full faith in the words of my spiritual master. So clearly here, having full faith in the words of the spiritual master and in the process that he gave and the possibility of spreading Krishna consciousness in the West, which seemed impossible at the time, but Prabhupada had full faith that it could be done. So the first thing we're going to have is full faith, and we're going to have full sincerity also. Certainly the time was right for Srila Prabhupada when he went to America. The hippie movement, I've written about this in some detail in my book, which I'm still working on it. When I get back to full health, I hope to work on it more fully. I've written about that, how the time was right for Srila Prabhupada. The time was right for Srila Prabhupada to come to the Western world, but it wasn't just that he just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And even it wasn't just that he was a pure devotee. Obviously, he was a pure devotee of Krishna, and he couldn't have done what he did unless he was a pure devotee. But there may have been so many pure devotees in the world among his godbrothers and other Vaishnavas. They're also, it's not that Srila Prabhupada was the only one who went back to Godhead. That's ridiculous to think like that. But the point I'm making is that Srila Prabhupada worked hard. He said, it takes gallons of blood to make one person a devotee. He really worked hard from the moment he arrived, and especially when ISKCON started getting going, and then from 1966 right through till 1977, Srila Prabhupada really gave himself fully to the people who came to him and to pushing on the movement And the movement was able to go on such a dynamic level and attract people. It wasn't just because the time was right, but because what Srila Prabhupada gave was very attractive. It was very dynamic. There was a lot of conviction among the devotees. So we're going to be able to attract Western people if we have that kind of dynamism. Now, we might be able to attract them at the level of Krishna West, in which it doesn't seem to demand a very heavy level of commitment, but that's not going to make a spiritual revolution. We hear a lot about how Prabhupada loved the devotees and he cared for them. Yeah, but simply semi-sentimentally loving them and caring for them, that's not going to be enough. We're going to have to push them also to go out and distribute the books, to work hard, to do festivals, to get up early in the morning, to follow all the principles, and to do that we're going to have to push ourselves. Are we ready? That's the first thing we have to say. Are we, on one hand, content with the, what we might say, the mediocre level that many of our temples are at? Are we want some kind of magic wand that's going to transform everything? But we ourselves are going to have to do the austerities. We ourselves are going to have to preach. We ourselves are going to have to work hard to bring others and keep the momentum, get the momentum going, and to keep it going. It's a pushing movement. We've come to a level where many of us, we're used to a level where the temples just go on somehow or other, and then people come and we smile at them and we socialize with them. And we think that preaching means you just be nice to people and talk to them, but preaching means you have to convince them to change their life, which means you're going to have to preach strongly, convince them of the philosophy, and you're going to have to demonstrate it, and people will be attracted. It's not that if we, just by putting on some Western clothing and speaking to people in the jargon that they're used to, that might help to make some cultural bridge, but that's not going to communicate Krishna consciousness to others. Krishna consciousness is a science. There are standard formulas that work. Books are the basis. Preaching is the essence. Utility is the principle. Purity is the force. Now, of course, Srila Prabhupada didn't say all those things. He did say books are the basis. And in so many ways, he said purity is the force. But he did approve of these four things. So books are the basis. We need to distribute Prabhupada's books. We may say, well, we distribute so many books and no one's interested in them. We have to distribute some other books or just forget book distribution. Don't say that. Again, Harishauri Prabhu, he asked Prabhupada about that, about, well, distributing books, we're distributing so many books and it seems they're not having so much effect. And Prabhupada said, you don't think like that. It's your duty. On your spiritual master ordered, you have to do it. It's your duty. And Srila Prabhupada was successful because he had great faith in the order of his spiritual master. Personally, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, I'm always inspired that this message has to get out to others. And that Srila Prabhupada himself is inspired by Krishna. And these books are meant for us and they're meant for distributing to the public. This movement spread all over the world dynamically by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books in the millions, and that should be done more and more and more. You may say it doesn't work. It does work, but we have to live by our lives. We have to demonstrate what's in the books. Otherwise, what happens? There are examples of this. People read the books, they're inspired, they come, they see the devotees, and they think, the devotees, they're not living like this. Just like I remember myself as a kid and reading the Bible and saying, well, it sounds very nice, but where's Jesus now? I don't find any, there's no one living like that. So you despair of actually being able to practice it. So preaching is the essence means by speaking, we have to speak what's in the books. If we speak something else, then we're not going to, if we don't speak the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, then we're not going to attract people to Krishna consciousness, however nice we may be. Then utility is the principle. Yeah, sure, okay. We have to do whatever needed, but there are basic standard things to follow. Utility is the principle, doesn't have to, can't be stretched to such an extent that there's no Krishna consciousness left. And purity is the force. Again, that comes to austerity. We get strength from rising in the morning, following all the four regulated principles, having a disciplined life, then we get spiritual strength from that. Again, we may think, well, if we can attract many people to some kind of mediocre Krishna consciousness, that's what we should be aiming at the present time. But this mediocre, low-level Krishna consciousness where people come to the Sunday feast and they it's more like a social occasion than a really strongly spiritual. When devotees come together, it's more socializing, joking, maybe talking about politics. Devotees may be divided in America. I'm pretty sure that many of them are over whether to vote Democrat or, what's the other one, Republican. And just mundane. That won't inspire people to dedicate their lives to Krishna consciousness. They won't get the strength. Thinking outside the box, you're saying better to take sannyas. That will be good. Well, maybe not. Maybe it's not the best thing, because sannyasis at the present time, their main service is to cater to the institution as it is, to service, to preach to the devotees. But if we need to get out among the public, and taking sannyas doesn't make any difference whether you're a sannyasi or not. The public in America, they don't care if you're a sannyasi or not. You can take sannyas or not take sannyas, but if you're going to revive preaching in the West and bring it up to a strong level, then you're going to have to get right down there with the people and preach to them and give gallons of blood and preach, and then out of Manushanam Sahasrishu, you preach to so many people, some come forward, they dedicate themselves, you have to be ready for disappointment, they may come forward up to the level of initiation, then go away again. You have to be ready for all these things. You have to just give gallons of blood, and taking sannyas in and of itself is not going to help. And maybe that will constrict you more, because you'll be expected to act in certain way. You're expected to then be involved in maybe the thinking outside the box. Maybe the institution as it is now, I'm talking about the ISKCON movement in the West, is more of an obstacle to getting the movement dynamic again. And I know one of my godbrothers, he went to preach in one country, so there's a very good field here. No one's heard of Krishna consciousness, major country in Europe. Hardly anyone, very, very few people have heard of Krishna consciousness, and many people, if you present it to them, they're interested in it. But then he was expected to help manage the temple, which means he's in the kitchen cooking and dealing with all the petty politics. And even if he has time to go out and preach and bring people, he bring them to the temple and they're not inspired by the temple, maybe you need to start all over again, thinking outside the box. I'm just offering some suggestions. The temples, maybe having temples, that's not the way to go now. I'm just making some suggestions here. The temples seem, especially during this pandemic, that the temples, we can see that the temple, it's not required absolutely for spreading Krishna consciousness. If you have temples, then it takes up so many people required for deity worship and so many things. We have to think what's best for the preaching. Maybe we need small preaching centers, or just householders can preach among householders, and small centers for brahmacharis can go out and preach and bring people. I'm thinking along off the top of my head now. Devotees have to come together and discuss. I'm sure you are doing, and you have done many times in your thinking and trying to find the way forward. There's some fantastic idea at the present time that we need to make women Diksha gurus, and if we do that, then all of a sudden there are going to be tens of thousands of people pounding on the doors, demanding to join the movement. It's pie in the sky. You have to. It's not just by having women Diksha gurus that all of a sudden everything in the West is all the problems are going to go in the way. It requires, again, you're going to have a lot of commitment, hard work. You have to have plans, but plans and committees in and of themselves aren't going to do it. If you have committee and okay, this is our plan. You can have as many plans, as many committees, as many resolutions as you like, but you have to get to work. You're going to have to get down to the ground level and restart and get the whole thing going again. So there are some thoughts. I mean, they're just the fear that what will happen in the future. The future is practically with us now. It's a grave situation. We can say, well, Krishna will look after it, but Krishna, we are supposed to be representing Krishna in this world. So there are some thoughts and some ideas. What I'm saying, the essence of it is if we want to get this movement going again, if we want to rescue it and bring it up, it's going to require a lot of commitment from, at least there has to be a core of devotees. Srila Prabhupada started off with one himself, and then he got others who were, as he got more and more committed devotees, he was able to spread the movement more and more and more. Now it's widely spread, but without what we're talking about, you're saying the fear that the preaching won't go on, the programs won't go on, the austerity won't go on. What we're talking about is commitment. Without that level of commitment, then we can't expect any real Krishna consciousness. Because then what is it without commitment? By the way, this discussion about how they're devotees, they love to do kirtan, but they're not that much interested in philosophy, and they're not much interested in following very seriously, but they love kirtan, and they may not follow exactly the principles very soon. And you can't preach to them; it's impossible. We do kirtan, we like it, we don't listen to. Hey, you know what that reminds me of? I was in India and Bangladesh in the 1970s, especially in Bangladesh. We'd find so many people who loved to do kirtan. But it was principles. They weren't interested in principles. It sounds like the old Hindu thing. You're worried about having too many Hindus, but the Western devotees themselves are like Hindus in that sense. Yeah, yeah, we like to chant. We love Krishna, but you don't preach to us. The only thing is that they don't have the inherent piety and culture that many Hindus have. Anyway, these are some thoughts, and like I say, you can throw your digital rotten tomatoes at me, or you can think about it and take it from there. Then the next question comes, well, what are you doing in the West? Well, I am there to some extent, in as much as I'm saying things, and some in the West take it seriously. I have some disciples who are going out there and distributing books and making devotees, and it's a small thing. I'm very much involved in what's going on here in India, and I'd like to get involved more elsewhere also. But it's not a one-man thing. I'm not Prabhupada, you're not Prabhupada. We at least some devotees are going to have to come together and to revive it. It can be done. It should be done. It must be done. But it requires individuals to really, really surrender and give their blood, gallons of blood, to do it. And what else is there to do? It's blissful. You'll be blissful if you do it. You'll get Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna, those are just some thoughts. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. And just to summarize the points and maybe give a few more also. For perpetuating Srila Prabhupada's gifts in America. It requires that the devotees revive the spirit of giving their whole life, their mind, their bodies, their soul to bring others to Krishna consciousness. If we think that there was in the original email, it was mentioning about material formulas. If we think that anything else will work without this, we're just dreaming. And there are some initiatives, well, we have to dress in Western clothes so the people will relate with us. Make a cultural approach, do cultural festivals, don't talk too much about Krishna consciousness. Be nice to people. Yeah, okay, be nice. You don't have to not be nice. But if we think that these things in and of themselves are going to change people's hearts and bring them to surrender to Krishna, then we're just dreaming. We have to really give ourselves, as Srila Prabhupada did to us, and as he infused that spirit in his followers, that they would go out and give themselves to the world, giving themselves to Prabhupada, to Krishna, by giving their gifts to the world, which means giving yourself to people, to take time with them, to feed them, to talk with them, to clear their misconceptions with a lot of patience. It can be a thankless task. You spend hours and hours and days on people, and then they just fritter away. But some will stay. The potential now in America is, from what I can see, is better than it has been in many, many years. I spoke previously about why ISKCON is so wishy-washy. There are various historical factors there. There was definitely a time when Srila Prabhupada came when in a certain section of the population, there was a tremendous scope or openness to taking to Krishna consciousness. At the present time, the Western world is very confused, very divided, a lot of anxiety, and we hear that people are open to spiritual solutions. So in many ways, it's a better time for spreading Krishna consciousness than in many years. And even many of the problems of the past, the child abuse cases and this and that, it's largely forgotten. The fact that people consider us as a cult is largely forgotten because they don't consider us anything, because they don't know anything about us. So we in one sense, we have a blank sheet to start with. Although there are many books out there. There's a lot of Agyata Sukriti out there. People in the past have heard the holy names have been reverberated around the Western world. So there are many pros and cons for spreading Krishna consciousness, but the real thing is we really have to get out there. If we want others to surrender and be sincere, we have ourselves to, if we want them to fully give themselves to Krishna, we ourselves have to set the example by being sincere and surrendered and fully giving yourself to Krishna is not something you can fake. Well, maybe you can for superficial people, but we don't want superficial people. We want people who are really giving themselves to Krishna. So we have to set the example to a superlative degree. Get involved with people at more than the superficial level. People who have some modicum of genuineness within them, they will appreciate if you're really trying to help them for their sake. We have to give ourselves. We have to get out of our comfort zone. I don't just mean sitting in a nice house or a nice office, but our mental and emotional comfort zone. To preach Krishna consciousness means to get involved with people with all their hang-ups and their traumas and their misconceptions and accept sannyas. Yeah, within the society of devotees, you'll be respected by some and disrespected by others for being a sannyasi. Some consider within the Society of Devotees, it's considered the sannyasis are the moving paragon of all everything that's wrong in their eyes. So we have to get out of our comfort zone. Do we really want that? Are we ready for that? Are we prepared to do what's required to bring people to Krishna consciousness? It means we have to take the trouble to guide others, to bring them in, train them up. I was just reading how Srila Prabhupada, it's just a small example, one devotee taking photographs of him, Bhagava Prabhu, how he would forget again and again and again not to show his back to the deities while photographing Prabhupada, and Prabhupada again and again and again corrected him. And he would do this kind of thing. He wouldn't just say, oh, I don't want to emotionally disturb him. But no, you've got to learn how to respect Krishna. Deity is Krishna. So we have to take the trouble to guide others and set a first-class example. That is real sannyas. Please forgive me if I said anything inappropriate or incorrect. I know many of you are very much more sincerely than myself. I just talk a lot. I don't really do anything. But there are so many who are really working very, very hard and have been doing so for years, giving their lives, giving their blood, sweat and tears to spread Krishna consciousness. But as I was asked by a member of the next generation, those who, when we're all dead and gone, us old fuddy-duddies, when we're all dead and gone, it's up to you. So as I was asked by one of you to give some thoughts on this, these are my thoughts, take it or leave it, as you like. Hare Krishna, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. He lives forever by His divine instructions, and the follower lives with Him. Hare Krishna.